Journalist Sonia Nazario was stunned to find out that the woman who cleaned her house in Los Angeles had children in Guatemala. Sonia set out to find more, and that led to a series of Pulitzer Prize-winning articles for the Los Angeles Times and then a 2006 book telling the story of Enrique, who made a perilous journey from Honduras to North Carolina to find his mother, who'd been gone for 11 years, trying to support him. Enrique tried not once but eight times riding on top of rail cars through Mexico. And for her book, Enrique's Journey, Sonia Nazario reconstructed his experience. In 2006, she told us about it.
There are gangsters that control the tops of the trains, and they carry machetes and knives and wooden bats and sometimes guns. And these 10 or 20 gangsters will surround a group on top of a car, and they'll strip them down, and they'll say, "Your money or your life." And they'll rob them, they'll take off their clothes, they'll beat them. Often the gangsters are hopped up on crack cocaine, and sometimes they'll, quote, feed them to the wheels.
Well, Enrique was almost fed to the wheels. Gangsters beat him badly, threatened to throw him off, but he made it. Found his mother, the two eventually moved to Florida, and then he stayed out drinking with friends, used drugs, got in trouble with the law. So what has happened to Enrique, and what does he represent? Sonia Nazario has published an update to Enrique's journey, and she joins us from the studios of NPR West. Sonia, welcome.
I'm honored to be back.
Well, it's great to have you, and terrific that you followed this story. When last we saw Enrique, he had a child with his girlfriend in Honduras. He sent for the girlfriend and promised that the child would come, promised he'd clean up his act. So what happened?
Well, he was able to bring his daughter north when she was just 4 years old. So that promise he did fulfill. The second promise of getting his act together was more difficult. I mean, he did work painting houses and contributing to the household, but he had become a glue sniffer in Honduras, you know, filling that void of not having his mother there, being passed from relative to relative. And he found that much more difficult to get beyond. And so there were a lot of ups and downs for him and his family. Of course, in 2007, the recession hit, which hit Latinos and immigrants hardest. And the family really struggled, and he continued to struggle on and off with drug use.
Well, hold the story there, because Enrique's story is a broader story. And as we see, it's one that repeats itself. He came to the U.S. After his mom left to find work, and he was without her for 11 years. His four-year-old daughter comes to be with him. How many children come to the U.S. looking for mothers who came before them?
I estimate now that there are hundreds of thousands of children coming every year. They come alone without a parent, and they come enter the U.S. unlawfully. The number of adults entering the United States illegally is at a 40-year low, but in the last 3 years, we've seen a tenfold surge in children coming alone. And the federal government is estimating quietly that 60,000 to 74,000 children will be apprehended coming in alone and put into federal custody this year. That doesn't even count the Mexican children that are deported very quickly within 1 or 2 days. And those are just the ones they catch and put into federal custody. They don't catch 2 out of every 3, some estimates say. So there has been this enormous surge in children coming. The trains that Enrique once rode on are full of migrants, and especially these children heading north. They're coming fleeing abuse from parents in their home countries. They are coming to work. But a vast majority are coming for two reasons: to reunify with a parent in the United States, and because of growing violence in Central America, as the worst narco-trafficking cartel in Mexico, the Zetas, have infiltrated much of Central America. And they are going to elementary schools and recruiting these children and telling them when they're 9, 10 years old, you join with us to move drugs, to kill people, to kidnap people, or we will kill your parents, we'll rape your sister, will harm you. And so many children are not only now coming to reunify, but they're fleeing for their very lives.
Well, and the ones that are coming, as Enrique did, compelled to see their mothers, these are children who are terribly scarred.
When they get to the United States and have that joyous reunion, as Enrique did, it all goes south because, you know, these kids say, what happened, Mom? You promised to come back in 1 or 2 years. And this stretches out typically 5, 10 years. You abandon me. And they walk up to the line of hating their moms for leaving them.
Well, you talk about a school in Los Angeles for newly arrived undocumented kids. And the principal says that's one of the biggest problems, that kids need to talk about their anger at their mothers. And he holds these meetings where the mothers are equally angry because they don't understand why their kids don't recognize the sacrifices they made.
The mothers feel that these are totally ungrateful brats. Enrique's mom, Lourdes, lived with a photo book with 10 snapshots of her two children. She worked like a dog, working 2-3 jobs, sleeping 5 hours a night, scrubbing floors so that her children could eat and they could study past the third grade, which is all she had been able to do. So the sacrifice has been enormous. And these children want their mothers to get down on both of their knees and say, "Son, forgive me for leaving you." And the moms just can't do that. It would be denying, you know, everything that they've done in their lives.
Well, let's talk more about what happened to Enrique. You're a journalist. Early on, you didn't intervene in his story. For instance, he needed to make a phone call. You had a phone in your bag, but you didn't give it to him because you need to see how a story unfolds. But later, Enrique was partying with some friends and he was arrested. Immigration officials discovered a previous felony conviction for drug use, and under the secure communities policy, that meant mandatory deportation. And this time, when he called collect from jail, you did intervene. You said as a result of your book, Enrique was famous in Honduras and would be a target for abduction and murder.
The line for me in helping someone is, are they in imminent danger? And I felt he was in imminent danger if he was deported. And so I got him the best pro bono attorney in Florida, and she was able to get him a visa and get one for his daughter and one for his girlfriend, now wife. So he is now in the United States legally as of last year. He is much luckier than most people. What we're seeing now is the reverse of what I wrote about. If children were coming here to reunify before with mothers, now so many parents like Enrique are being deported and being separated from U.S.-born children who remain in the United States. And they are living these very painful, difficult separations. And more than 5,000 of these children are in foster care now because of these separations.
So what changes this huge flow of children still coming to the U.S., even though the number of adults crossing the border has gone way down, the number of children is at record highs. We know you think there need to be more jobs, first of all, to keep parents in the countries of origin. But what about the kids themselves? What can be done to help them?
We need to provide legal services, an attorney for children who come here illegally, because so many of these children, when they're apprehended, they're told to go to immigration court, but they're not entitled to a public defender. And so a 7-year-old, 5-year-old child is asked to go before an immigration judge and present a complex legal case as to why they shouldn't be deported. 40% of them, studies show, have some pathway to stay here legally, but they're not getting that, and they're being sent back often to very dangerous, sometimes lethal situations. These kids have to have some due process in our courts. We cannot treat children like that in the United States.
That's journalist Sonia Nazario. Her articles for the Los Angeles Times won her the Pulitzer and became the 2006 book Enrique's Journey, telling the story of the teenager who traveled atop trains from Honduras to the U.S. in search of his mom. She's reissued the book with an update. It's also out in a young adult version. Sonia, thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin.